The last vision is to establish within the entire group an innovation-oriented culture in which everyone is encouraged and to a certain extent expected to contribute to the innovation process.
This is the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast, showcasing outstanding startups and initiatives in the global sports tech ecosystem. From Sports Tech X, the leading source for data and insights about sports tech, here is your host, Benjamin Pinker.
So, hi everyone, this is Benjamin from Sports Tech X. Today I have the pleasure to talk to Pietro Marini from DeltaTree. He's the group head of innovation, and according to their own website, DeltaTree is the world's leading sports and entertainment technology provider, offering graphics, data, OTT, and live broadcast solutions. So this is very promising, but first of all, I want to welcome my guest to the show. So hi, Pietro.
Hi, Benjamin. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, good to have you on the podcast. Really happy to talk to you today. I'm very curious what you're going to share with us today. But before we come to that, we want to know a bit about yourself as a person. So why don't you share with us who you are, what you've done in the past, and what you're doing now?
Sure. I was born in Milan, in Italy, in 1992, and I moved to Turin when I was really, really young, like around the age of 3. I've been studying scientific studies in general, all oriented towards mathematics. And at the university, I chose to study management engineering with a specialization in innovation management. And as I've always been extremely passionate about sports and technology, as soon as I had the possibility to start working in DeltaTree, I did. Therefore, as soon as I turned 18, I enrolled for in DeltaTree, working as an event operator for major sporting events worldwide. And I've been doing that ever since 2017, so for over 7 years, and I'm actually still doing that until when in 2017 I was hired full-time. I started working in the PMO group, so managing and coordinating all the tools that would then be used by project managers and by the entire group. My personal focus was on process innovation, so there was already a pretty clear direction in what I was doing back then. After a couple of years, then the top management of the group decided to create this entity within the environment, which is the DeltaTree Innovation Lab, and I was appointed as head of the Innovation Lab.
Yeah, and of course, that sparks my interest before. But before coming to that, I find it quite interesting that a lot of people actually stay for many years in DeltaTree, so it seems to be a very good employer, so people seem to be happy there, right?
Yes, DeltaTree has been growing significantly, mainly in the last 20 years. I have some colleagues that have been in DeltaTree ever since it was founded in 1986. So it's definitely a place where people seem to like to work and where the founders have managed to create a very family-like environment, which is always good, particularly when growing geographically. It became a bit of a challenge, but they really successfully managed to keep this family-like environment, making sure that people went to the office always happy to go and work on what represents for most of us a true passion. So the combination of sports and technology.
Yeah, very nice. Not easy when you grow that fast or you grow into such a big company. But yeah, let's speak about the DeltaTree Innovation Lab. Of course, that sparked my interest, and I know that you are leading that lab. So yeah, maybe you can share with us what is the story of the Innovation Lab? How did it start?
Yes, sure. With great pleasure. DeltaTree's history has always been characterized by innovation, as it has always been living in an extremely innovative environment and in an extremely innovative industry. Obviously, what we do now is pretty far from what we started with in the late 80s. And we've always managed to keep up to date and to anticipate technological trends that characterized our value proposition. The latest technologies rising in throughout the world and obviously in our industry as well require pretty different skill set compared to what is needed in standard development, let's say. Mm-hmm. Therefore, contextually to an interior organization, as I was saying earlier, top management decided to create a standalone entity within the environment. So kind of detaching the research and development activities from product development, product enhancement, and creating a standalone entity with the goal basically of representing both internally and externally the go-to entity when dealing with topics around innovation and research and development in general. We started off in summer 2019, so it's just over 1 year today. And we started in three. It was myself and two senior R&D software engineers. With time, we grew. We are now a team of five full-time employees and one part-time person that is shared with one of our business units. And as what we deal with, as I was saying earlier, rising technologies, there is not too much expertise available on the market. Therefore, our strategy is to focus on young people, mainly coming out of universities that have already have previous experience at university level, so at academic level, at research level. And this is how we work. At the same time, we obviously try and include as much as possible our business units as in order to make sure that we are consistent with the overall strategy. We need to receive constant input and feedback from businesses.
Yeah, very interesting. And especially what you said before, that you started with two software engineers. Yes. So that tells me that you brought on board some guys that are really deep into certain topics. So you really look at, I would say, core software capabilities in the market. Would it be accurate?
Yes. At the same time, I had the luck of started to work with the two R&D software engineers I was mentioning that had specific previous expertise in fields such as VR, AR, and mixed reality. Mm-hmm. And then they had, for personal interest, strongly focused also on data science, AI, and machine learning. Therefore, they were able, from the inception of the actual lab, to take responsibility for these kind of initiatives and to drive them in order to make them actionable within our business environment.
I understand. And is that also the goals that you're trying to achieve? I can imagine that now that you have, I think you said, five people working there, and now with the lab turned one, after a year, I can imagine you get the question, okay, Pietro, you have this lab, you're working for a year now, what did you achieve? Is it more like having your finger on the pulse of the market, or are there like specific goals that you have to meet?
Let's start from taking a step back. So from our overall vision of the lab, obviously, not of the Tetra. The lab's vision is to establish within the entire group an innovation-oriented culture in which everyone is encouraged and to a certain extent expected to contribute to the innovation process. We are a pretty big group by now, almost 1,000 employees worldwide, and we know that we need to leverage everyone's creativity and input in order to really spark innovation in order to really add value to our current value proposition. Mm-hmm. We aim at achieving this by adopting a bottom-up approach and by providing everyone with the means to directly contribute and to directly monitor and keep track of basically our activities. What is the main driver, obviously, in whatever we do is the group's overall strategy. Mm-hmm. From a day-to-day perspective, we manage the process from the initial creative phase to the proof of concept and prototypization. Our proof of concept are obviously developed in accordance to, as I was saying earlier, inputs and feedbacks and the overall strategy. And we receive constant support from units for this reason. Units are then the ones that receive our proof of concepts and then that bring them to the market and integrate them into our existing offer. In addition to this, we are also trying to become part of a burgeoning innovation community worldwide. Obviously, we started from Italy, as we are all localized in Italy for the time being. And we try and build networks and bridges with research entities, universities, startups, and so on.
Okay, then this means you have a broad spectrum of tasks, both to the internal and the external world. In the external world, you're trying to connect with all the parties you just mentioned. But internally, you're both, let's say, giving impulses to the organization, but also the organization can come to you if they have specific things they want to get your knowledge on, right?
Yes, exactly. As I was saying earlier, the process is pure bottom-up, so everyone is literally encouraged to contribute. Therefore, the starting point of our creative process could be internal, meaning from the team, from the actual innovation lab team, as well as it could be coming from division leads as well as it could come from literally anyone within our group, as well as obviously clients, if this is the case.
So very modern, open approach, I would say.
Absolutely.
Cool.
Stay up to date with all things sports tech and sign up for our newsletter. You'll get a monthly breakdown of the most important developments in the global sports tech ecosystem, paired with exclusive interviews with industry leaders. Get all of this and more delivered directly to your inbox. Sign up today at sportstechx.com.
A question that's specifically interesting for me, as we work with startups in sports a lot and try to know what's going on there. Do you work with startups as well in the lab? And that could be like specific cooperation, but also just monitoring what the market is doing.
Yes, we do. We continually scout the startup environment to identify most promising companies, in particular companies that could best integrate within our ecosystem. We've been involved in several initiatives organized by third parties, such as incubators, accelerator programs, and the likes. This gives us the opportunity to, first of all, understand what's going on outside of the Delta 3, and as well as creating relationships that may not translate immediately in collaboration or partnership, but that definitely build the basis for potential future cooperations. In future, we plan on taking this to the next level. So we will get to a point in which we will choose whether to pursue these kind of activities independently with partners and clients, if there is their interest to do so, or again, sticking to third parties that are specialized and strongly focused on the activity of again, incubation and acceleration.
Nice. And speaking about collaboration and third parties, can you tell us a bit about the partnerships that you already have in place, for example, with the DFL, the German Football League that I'm aware of?
Yes, this is a partnership that is in terms of Delta 3 more broadly and not exclusive of the Innovation Lab, obviously.
Yeah.
We have this, as you were saying, successful partnership with DFL as a part of Sportech Solution, which is joint venture between us and the DFL, which is the German Federation. This Sportech Solutions is focused on the collection and dissemination of data for Bundesliga and Zweite Bundesliga.
Yeah.
This sector obviously is becoming more and more relevant every day as everyone involved from teams to players, media and fans recognize how crucial it is to really understand and to really have insights on what is happening on the field. We have taken this approach with the DFL to basically try and transform the data system. And this is something that obviously has potentially also could affect also our value proposition in regards to all our other clients, as it is, in effect, a standalone entity.
I understand. But you would also be open to a certain partnership specifically from the lab's perspective.
Absolutely, yes. And that's something that we try and do mostly, again, as I was saying, with startups, as we have constant contacts with several players. Obviously, everyone is aware that one of the greatest struggles of startups is to receive funding, but not only. Every kind of asset that a player such as ourselves could provide is of great value for them. So this is definitely something we actively monitor and that we evaluate from time to time, depending on what we have in our roadmap. In addition to startups, we also have the possibility, given our positioning in the market and our relevance in the entire sports and entertainment ecosystem, to work with tech giants, so top of the class experts.
Yeah.
And when we're talking about the lab, obviously there is a strong focus on everything concerning innovation, mainly at the time being AI, which is of great interest not only for us, because it enriches our activity and can provide also valuable outputs for our proposition, but also for the big players that need feedbacks and inputs also for their offering.
Speaking about valuable outputs, if you look back a bit now, you said that the lab is only a year, so I'm not even sure if it's fair to ask that question, but what would you say has been your biggest success with the lab so far?
Well, yes, it has not been a long time yet, but I have to say that some outputs are already appreciable. As I was saying earlier, we focused on building a proof of concepts and prototypes. Some of them have already been delivered to divisions, and in particular, a couple are already part of our offering. So this is a great success for us, as well as several demos that we have shared with both with the internal stakeholders and also with clients in order to receive fast approval, let's say, and fast feedback on what we have been doing. If you ask me what my personal greatest success referring to the lab is, I have to say that it is the enthusiasm and the openness with which we have been greeted when we started existing within the DeltaTree ecosystem. We really can feel that there was a need for an entity responsible for research and development and responsible for sparking the innovation process throughout the company. And this is really great for us. Yeah, I have to say it's really the thing that makes me most happy when I think back about where we were 1 year ago.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, my next question is about the biggest challenges that you faced. And one of my guesses would have been that in such an established environment or company, sometimes it's not the most welcomed initiative if somebody new comes up and tells you how to do innovation, how to do new things. So it's actually, like you said, really nice to see that your colleagues seem to be appreciative about that.
Yes, definitely. What you say is absolutely true. At the same time, we have the luck of being in a very dynamic and flexible environment. Therefore, any kind of assistance in these terms is perceived as an actually helping hand rather than something negative.
Very nice. So I still wonder what has been the biggest challenge that you faced so far.
Well, I think that my answer is going to be the answer that everyone that works and manages an innovation lab, which is particularly detached from products, gives. It's obviously the handover of our work to units. This is obviously something that is always there, and this is a consequence of the huge trade-off that characterizes innovation teams in every company. So, first of all, research and development should be ideally linked to products and to, as I was saying, the company's value proposition. At the same time, product teams often need to focus strongly on projects, as projects are then what deliver the actual value for the company. Therefore, it may happen that in some cases, product teams do not have all the necessary space and resources to focus on pure R&D as well. And that's exactly what we do. So when talking about our handover to our work to our units, that should then translate and does translate into integration of our solutions within existing products. We tackle this at two different levels. The first level is obviously the creative phase. So as I was saying earlier, ensuring that the projects we undertake are consistent with the business unit's needs and with the group strategy. And this is obviously achievable by being fully transparent and inclusive in the creative process, which, as I was saying, we do through the bottom-up approach we have adopted. And then the second barrier is potentially once our POC is ready. Keep in mind that we now work a lot with AI in particular, that, as I was saying earlier, requires some specific capacities that are not necessarily widespread throughout the company. Therefore, what we do in order to make this handover as seamless as possible is to try and include the product teams as early as possible into the development process so that they are aware of what we do and also obviously of how we do it, so that when they then have to take responsibility and accountability for future developments, they are in the best position to do so. And obviously, we are always there to help.
Yeah. My next question might fit to that, actually. So I was wondering which hot trends or sectors in sports tech you are tracking. And I can imagine that if you include those product teams early on, maybe they also mention what kind of topics they would be interested in. I mean, there are a few that are pretty obvious for DeltaTree as a company, but I was just wondering what are the trends or sectors that you're actually monitoring?
Obviously AI is the main factor in this, also AI in all its forms. I'm sure that we are just seeing the beginning of AI's potential, and that in the years to come we will see things in place that we could hardly imagine at present day. This is pretty obvious. Then to move on to some other trends that I think are interesting for DeltaTree, obviously 5G and its proliferation will be a significant enabler in our industry. Mm-hmm. Obviously, will allow to leverage AI without requiring the specific infrastructure setup and same with augmented reality. And overall, it will allow clubs and federations to be as close as they ever have been to fans. So closer than ever, basically. In addition to this, there is also one trend that I think will be potentially the next big thing in our industry, and it's volumetric capturing. I think that giving the possibility to fans to really feel engaged and immersed into what is happening on the field will be pretty amazing in the near future. Obviously, volumetric capturing is already available, but as of today, it requires a huge investment from a hardware and setup perspective. Technological advancement will significantly lower this need, and I think we will get to a point in which you will really be able to watch a game on your TV at home or on your tablet at home and really feel as if you're part of the overall show as our people on the stands.
Yeah, typical development of a technology that gets more mature, more affordable, and faster over time.
Yes, we see it every day in whatever we do. AI is also an example of that. It was it was not even imaginable 10 years ago to have the computing power that we can dispose of now. So it's going to be always more and more democratic from that perspective.
Yeah, just one more question before I come to my very last one, and then we're already done with the podcast. What is coming up for you in the next couple of months? Is there anything specific that the lab is working on, or is it, let's say, business as usual?
Well, obviously, the pandemic had a pretty significant effect, mostly as far as events, showcases, and demo days are concerned. Everything moved to being virtual, and this was not necessarily negative for us, as it allowed us to review the events we used to hold pre-pandemic that were in-place events and really focused towards a local community. Yeah. While now we are having virtual events that obviously capture a lot more interest online than from a number of people perspective, at least. As far as our activities, we are currently engaged in a really big project, which I cannot unfortunately disclose too much about, that will keep us busy for the upcoming 2 or 3 months. It probably won't translate into a functioning product yet, but it will represent the basis of much of what we will do in the future. So it's more oriented towards the infrastructure and architectural part of what we will build in the future. So for 2020, I think this will be our main focus, together with some initiatives, as I was saying earlier, with the universities and research entities for some thesis and this kind of work.
So you will not be bored in 2020?
No, no. We are lucky enough to never be bored. Literally, it has been a pretty hectic year, and that's great for us. It means that we are valued within the company.
Fantastic. Now we're coming to the very last question. It's actually one of my favorites. I'm always curious to what the answer would be. What is your favorite sporting moment? Could be you as, I don't know, an athlete, or it could be you as somebody who's watching in the stadium or at home.
I have to start by saying I'm a big sports fan. In particular of tennis, golf, and football. Uh-huh. My best memories are linked to football, not as an athlete, because I really cannot say that I'm an athlete as far as football is concerned, but as a viewer. And as you can imagine, Italy in 2006
I knew it.
was pretty great for me, although I was a bit too young, because I was 14, so I really didn't have the possibility of fully enjoying it. And in addition, I was in the States at the time, where football, or how they call it, soccer, was not as relevant as it is today.
Yeah.
So that certainly did not help. Then another really amazing moment that I hold really dear is Inter Milan winning the Champions League in 2010 in Madrid. I'm an Inter fan, as you could imagine.
Against Bayern Munich, right?
Yes, against Bayern Munich. I was lucky enough to be in Madrid at the stadium, and it really was something that goes beyond everything I've ever felt in referring to sports, at least.
Well, so far I liked you, Pietro, but those two events that you brought up are painful for me as a German. So
you support Bayern Munich too?
I do like Bayern Munich. That. I was good in hiding it so far in the podcast, but I have to admit it.
Nah, too bad. It was really good for us. But
it
happened. And you've had your satisfactions later on.
That is true.
This year as well.
Cool, but thanks for sharing that. That was interesting. We're at the end of the podcast. I think we learned a lot about the lab, what you're doing, or what you've done already, what you're doing in the future. And yeah, we'll follow your journey closely and hope that some of the news or some of the work that you're doing will also be, communicated to the public, which I guess it not always does. I pay attention to that and keep me posted on what you guys do.
Thank you. Thank you, Benjamin. It was a very great experience to speak with you.
Likewise. Have a good day. Take care.
Hey, thank you very much.
Thanks for listening to the Sports Tech All-Stars podcast with Benjamin Pankert. If you like our show, let us know and leave a review. And if you want to know more about us, check out sportstechx.com, where you can find our latest industry reports and updates. For a deeper dive into all things sports tech, check out our comprehensive database, SportsTechDB, at sportstechdb.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media. You can find us at SportsTechX on Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn, and Facebook. Join us next time for another insightful conversation with a leader in sports tech.